knowledge of self-realization, even though free from all material affinity, does not look well if devoid of a conception of the infallible God. What then is the use of fruitive activities which are naturally painful from the very beginning and transient by nature, if they are not utilized for the devotional service of the Lord? Purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. As referred to above, not only ordinary literature is devoid of the transcendental glorification of the Lord are condemned, but also Vedic literatures and speculation on the subjects of impersonal Brahman when they are devoid of devotional service. When speculation on the impersonal Brahman is condemned on the above ground, then what to speak of ordinary fruitive work, which is not meant to fulfill the aim of devotional service? Such speculative knowledge and fruitive work cannot lead one to the goal of perfection. Fruitive work in which almost all people in general are engaged is always painful, either in the beginning or at the end. It can be fruitful only when made subservient to the devotional service of the Lord. In the Bhagavad Gita, also, it is confirmed that the result of such fruitive work may be offered for the service of the Lord. Otherwise, it leads to material bondage. The bona fide enjoyer of the fruitive work is the personality of Godhead. Thus, when it is engaged for the sense gratification of the living beings, it becomes an acute source of trouble. Knowledge of self-realization, even though free from all material affinity, does not look well if devoid of a conception of the infallible God. What then is the use of fruitive activities, which are naturally painful from the very beginning and transient by nature, if they are not utilized for the devotional service of the Lord? We are reading this afternoon Narada Muni's instructions to Srila Vedavyas. In this chapter, Narada is explaining the importance of the Srimad Bhagavatam. In fact, it is on the basis of these instructions of Sri Narada Rishi that Vedavyas compiled the most important of all Vedic literatures, Srimad Bhagavatam. Narada is explaining that there are so many Vedic literatures and there are so many forms of religion, but if they are not teaching what is true bhakti, what is true devotion and sacrifice to the Supreme Absolute Truth, Sri Krishna, then they cannot really bring a person to the real, natural happiness and joy that everyone is seeking. In fact, Narada condemns them. We should know, what is bhakti? Bhakti is the greatest, the highest, the purest science in this whole creation. Sometimes people think that bhakti means just doing something with devotion. Yesterday I was speaking to one gentleman, and he was telling me that I am not interested in reading scriptures or reading books. I'm interested in practicing bhakti. And what is his bhakti? His conception is sitting before a deity of Krishna and just trying to remember Krishna, just trying to imagine what is Krishna, just trying to do nice things in the mood of devotion. But actually, this is not bhakti. Certainly, this is some very preliminary religious activity. But bhakti is a science. Bhakti is a process. And unless you understand the scriptures, and unless you are learned to know what is this process, you cannot follow real bhakti. Bhakti begins with hearing. Sravanam kirtanam, sravana kirtanam smarana bandana pada sevana vrasire pujana satyujana atmanivedana. Bhakti is composed of 9 processes. And of the 9 processes, the first is sravanam, or hearing, which means we must hear from the Vedic literature and understand what is the truth and how to pursue the truth. Tadvidi pranipatina pariprasnena sehaya upadekshanti te jnanam jnaninastvata darshana. And if we want to understand the truth of the Vedas, tadvijnanatam sugurum eva abhigachate, we must approach a spiritual master, a great devotee of the Lord, who doesn't give his own opinion or his own ideas, but simply repeats the word of God. Someone who is coming in a line of proper disciplic succession. He is empowered to present the truth. We don't care for miracles. We don't care for supernatural healing techniques. A real guru is one who humbly repeats the truth. This is the beginning of bhakti, to hear from such persons and to learn from them how to properly understand the Vedic scriptures and the science of devotion. Bhakti begins with sadhana. Vaidhi bhakti. That means the practice of strict rules and the regulations and the performance of tapasya or sacrifice. It is not that we just sit in front of the deity and imagine and try to remember Krishna. We must understand the proper process of remembering Krishna. You chant 16 malas every day. Without fail. Come life or death, you complete your chanting. We may begin with one round, one mala, 2 malas, 8 malas, but we gradually progress. And we regulate ourselves as far as possible at the same time every day. After taking our bath, we sit down and we chant. This is the way the shastras and the gurus and the great acharyas tell us to remember Krishna. Not that we just sit and imagine him or try to think of him in our own way. When we are chanting, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, we are thinking of Krishna. Because Krishna is none different than his name. Nama Chintamani Krishna's Chaitanya Rasa Vigraha. But this is the prescribed method of remembering Krishna. And then we read Bhagavad Gita. We read Srimad Bhagavatam. We read the commentaries of the authorized acharyas. Or we come to Srimad Bhagavatam or Bhagavad Gita class and we listen attentively. In this way we are remembering Krishna.
but according to the proper process, according to the science. And we follow these four regulative principles. And we learn how to perform archana, puja. All the rituals, they have meaning, and they actually elevate our consciousness when we follow these rituals in a scientific manner, with an understanding of why, and with the guidance of advanced spiritual devotees. This is bhakti. And gradually, through this process of following the regulative principles of devotional service, our mind becomes controlled. Our senses become under the control. And our heart becomes pure. And only when the heart is completely pure can we spontaneously remember Krishna. But even when we come to that level, we do not give up the regulative principles of devotional service, because we become spontaneously, ecstatically attached to those principles, because Krishna reveals himself so dearly to us through this process. So when people talk about bhakti, we should not think of it so cheaply that anyone who's offering something, it is not bhakti. It is certainly some act of devotion with a religious idea. But real bhakti, which is the only means of bringing us home back to Godhead, is a great science which must be followed very strictly, very rigidly, especially at the beginning. Today is the disappearance day of Srila Jagannath Das Babaji Maharaj. He was Shiksha Guru for Thakur Bhakti Vinod. In regard to what we are speaking today, one day, one of the disciples of Jagannath Das Babaji, disciples in the sense of followers, they came to Bhaktivinoda Thakur and they said, "We understand that this Jagannath Das Babaji Maharaj, he's the greatest of all the Vaishnavas on the earth. He has the highest realizations of the pastimes of Sri Sri Radha and Krishna. And we have requested him to kindly teach us how to meditate on the wonderful Leela of Radha and Krishna during the eight different segments of the day, Astakalya Leela. And we requested him to tell us what is our original spiritual form in the spiritual world, because certainly he must know these things. And he told us that we should pick flowers, and we should plant vegetables, and we should water tulsi. And when we approached him again and asked him, but these are very simple things, anybody could tell us these things. Anybody can tell us, pick flowers, grow vegetables, water tulsi. But you are such a great Mahatma. From you we want the highest idea. Who are we in Krishna's Leela? What should be the esoteric meditation of our heart?" He asked us, "Did you finish growing all the vegetables? Is tulsi being properly watered and cared for?" There's always more flowers to pick for the Lord. So they requested Thakur Bhakti Vinod, "Can you please speak to our Gurudev and ask him to teach us these higher ideas?" And Bhakti Vinod Thakur explained to them that you must understand that he is a real spiritual master. Spiritual masters who are not really concerned with your spiritual progress, they will tell you all these things. But as long as you are a conditioned soul, you cannot understand them. And if you meditate on them, they will bring about spiritual ruination. through the process of learning how to be a humble servant. With faith in the words of the spiritual master, we learn how to properly chant the holy names. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. Through such faith in Gurudev's words, through such humble service of regulating one's mind and senses accordingly, and by chanting Harinam strictly and attentively, we gradually become purified. And then these higher concepts are revealed to you. They may be revealed through your spiritual master's words, or they may be revealed through your spiritual master from within your heart. But they were revealed at the right time. But for a conditioned soul to meditate on these higher concepts without first surrendering with all humility to being a servant and chanting the holy names with faith in the words of Guru and the Vaishnavas, said it is all an imagination. Bhakti is a process, it is a science. We are all seeking the highest thing, but we are approaching that highest thing in a way that we can reach it. If you want to become a brain surgeon, and you're a little child, you don't immediately go into the surgical operation room and trying it. Nor do you even watch the brain surgeons, how they're doing it. First you go to first standard, and you learn the alphabet. And you learn how to count 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. And you learn basic education. And then you may proceed to high school. And then to college. And after your college, then you begin to study medicine. Anatomy and all of these other things. And after you progress, learn, imbibe all of this information of all the previous long, long years, then you can begin to study what is surgery of the brain. Because education is a science. Bhakti is a science. First, we must learn how to properly associate with devotees. Hear from them. Read the scriptures properly. Hear the words of Bhagavatam and Gita. Then we begin to apply them to our life through service. Simple service. Whatever it may be. And then we regulate our lives. Yama niyama. By accepting favorable activities and rejecting unfavorable activities. No illicit sex, no intoxication, no gambling, no meat eating. Chant every day regularly the holy names of Krishna. Worship the deities. Come in the evenings as much as possible to hear the glories of the Lord. And it's a gradual process. Gradually we become attached to Krishna and detached from material existence. By pleasing Krishna through this humble endeavor, all success is guaranteed. You have nothing to fear. A devotee's only fear is to offend the Vaishnavas or to disobey the will of Krishna, which is coming through them. Otherwise, they have nothing to fear. Not even death. You see, this is a movement which is teaching realization. We can talk about all high subjects for our rest of our life, but if we don't realize it, what is the use? In this regard, there's a very simple story for children. And since we're all children before God, I'll tell you this children's story. There was a hunter in the forest. And he was looking to catch some birds. But the birds in this forest were very intelligent. That they knew, they had been informed already about the atrocious activities of the hunter. So they were all hiding, and the hunter couldn't see them. But they all wanted to warn each other of what the hunter was about to do. So the hunter came with his bow and arrow. And from all directions, the hunter heard the birds. These birds could actually talk. They actually could talk in English. And they were all singing together. The hunter has come! The hunter has come! Everyone hide! Don't let him see you! Because he has a bow and arrow, and he will kill us with that bow and arrow. So everyone hide! The hunter has come! The hunter has come! So the hunter is thinking, what is the use of my bow and arrow? I'll never find them. So he took a net, and he started putting out his net. And as he was putting it out the net, all the birds were singing, alas, alas, the hunter has brought his net. The hunter has brought his net, and he's just now putting it out. No one go near the net. And then he took some food, and he put it in the net. And all the birds started singing, alas, alas, the hunter has put food in the net just to catch us and to kill us. No one take any of that food in the net. And then the hunter started hiding in the bushes. And the birds started singing, alas, alas, the hunter is hiding in the bushes, waiting for us to eat the food so he can catch us in his net. So the hunter was thinking, this forest is useless. They know all my tricks. I'll never catch any of the birds. And just when he was about to pack up his net and leave, all the birds jumped in the net and started eating the food. And the hunter closed the net and caught them. And all the birds began to sing together, alas, alas, the hunter has caught us. He's trapped us because we ate the food that was in his net. Alas, alas, now he's going to kill us and sell us. And people will eat us. Rio. So what is the moral to this story? Yudhisthira Maharaj explained to Yaksha that the most wonderful thing in the whole world is everyone is seeing everyone is dying, but everyone is thinking that I will not die. And as devotees, we know so much. Sometimes we even preach so much. For so many years, we're studying the scripture. We're hearing classes. We're telling so many people simple instructions about devotional activities, how we shouldn't engage in sense gratification, how sense gratification is the path leading to death. But yet, when sense gratification comes before us, we jump in the net. Huh? We're telling people that death is coming. Chant Hare Krishna. Don't enjoy sense gratification. But then when it comes, as we're enjoying sense gratification, we're telling people don't enjoy sense gratification. This is the condition. Although we know so much, and although we're propagating so many high principles, we cannot stop it. What is that saying? That even Even very materialistic people, they become most philosophical when they're at the cremation parlor. When they're seeing the body of a loved one dead and being burned by fire, they start thinking, what is this body that I'm so attached to? It's just a matter of days or months or years till I'm also being burnt by this fire. Why should I waste my life just trying to maintain a family, just trying to make a little more money, just trying to get some more comforts? There's a higher purpose. I should give my life to that. I should emphasize and make that my priority. Because it's just a matter of time till I'm ashes. And we all know that. Everybody knows that. But when we leave the cremation parlor and we get caught up in our daily lives, the problems of our business, the attachments of our families, the various demands of our egos, again, we fall into the net of material illusion and pursue these things. Therefore, it is very important that we must always remember what is the goal of life. Srimad Bhagavatam explains, Dharma Projita Kaita Vatra Parama Niramatsaranam Satam. That even in the name of religion, there are so many instructions to teach us how to perform some religious activity so that we can get some sense of a higher form of material security and enjoyment. But Srimad Bhagavatam kicks it out. Why? Because it's transient. It's temporary. It's the path to death. Even in the name of religion, it's the path to death. Anything but pure bhakti and the process which teaches that. So we must very seriously struggle and strive in the association of sincere devotees to realize these higher truths. Not simply just to talk about them or think about them, but to realize them. And bhakti is the process of realization. And this is what we want. There are so many external ideas of religion. Jagannath Das Babaji Maharaj, when he was living in Vrindavan, one time some sudra, street sweepers, who according to the Brahmins are practically untouchable, but those little street sweepers, very poor, hardly had any clothes, just sweeping the dusty roads of Brajbhumi. One time Jagannath Das Babaji, he found the plates in which these sudra, street sweepers, had taken prasad, and he took the remnants from them. And all the sadhus, and all the babajis, and all the brahmins, they heard that here is the greatest of the Vaishnavas, Jagannath Das Babaji, and he's acting so inappropriately. He's taken the remnants of food from low-class people. And in their minds, they were severely questioning him and criticizing him. And they were talking amongst themselves like anything. He took the food from sudras, street sweepers. So Jagannath Das Babaji, every evening, he would speak from Srimad Bhagavatam. And they were all there. And everyone in the audience, they were afraid to say anything.
But they were all very troubled in their minds, criticizing him. Jagannath Das Babaji, he understood this. He said, "You are all wondering, why did I take the food from a person who is untouchable to you? In fact, traditionally, if someone does like that, they lose their caste. They lose their right to be Hindus. They're not allowed to even perform Vedic ceremonies anymore." So you could imagine how they were critically thinking of him. And he explained that, "Do you know that the greatest rishis, the greatest sages throughout history, all the demigods, they are all aspiring to even get one grain of dust of Vrindavan to put it on their heads? And these people, what fortunate, you're calling them untouchables or shudras, but what a fortunate birth that day and night they're sweeping the dust of Vrindavan, and that same dust, which one particle is so precious, more precious than all the gold, all the diamonds, all the rubies, and all the wealth of the world, cannot compare to a grain of dust from Vrindavan. And these fortunate souls, their bodies are covered from head to toe with that dust. How purified are they? Therefore, I am taking the remnants of their food for my own purification." And when they heard this, they were struck with wonder, because they understood that it was true. The essence is not just the traditional ritualistic conceptions that we are attached to. The essence is bhakti. The essence is devotion. And how these people, he explained, they were so humble. They were just serving the holy Dham. And they were just serving the Vaishnavas by making the Dham a nice place for the devotees to walk. And they expected nothing in return. They just wanted to serve. Jagannath Das Babaji explained how exalted these people are. Let us always aspire to take the remnants of their food. Jagannath Das Babaji lived very old, over 135 years. Today is his disappearance day. Of course, we know the most wonderful story of his great contribution. Just yesterday I left Mayapur Dham. In Mayapur, Bhaktivinod Thakur was very seriously searching for the birthplace of Lord Chaitanya. What happened is, after Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu disappeared from the world, soon after, the Ganges River shifted her course, and the whole area of Mayapur was completely flooded and underwater of the Ganges. There were ancient maps which explained where the different places of Mahaprabhu's Leela was. In fact, when Lord Nityananda Prabhu was taking Srila Jiva Goswami throughout Navadvip Dham, Nityananda Prabhu predicted that very soon the Ganges will cover all these places in the Mayapur area, which included the place of the birth site of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Ah.
On the other side, in a place called Kulia, was the birth site of Lord Chaitanya, as being propagated by some Brahmins who were living there. But Bhaktivinod could understand that it was the opposite side of the Ganges according to the scriptures, Chaitanya Mangala, Chaitanya Bhagavat, and other Vedic literatures. So these people who had some land, they established it on their own because it was a very profit-making enterprise. So he was searching and searching the different scriptures and the different records and ancient maps, and he was consulting great Mahatmas. And ultimately, he came to the conclusion of where it really was. And he also had a vision from his very house, where he saw beautiful effulgent light coming from a certain place, which he had already decided must be the proper place. And when he went to that tract of land, it was just an agricultural field. And that particular area, there was nothing but tulsis growing there. And there was no cultivation. It's by natural, it was happening. So he was thinking, this is the place. But unless the greatest of the Vaishnavas, Sarvabhauma Vaishnava, Jagannath Das Babaji, confirms it, without his blessings, no one will truly believe it. So at that time, Jagannath Das Babaji was well over 100 years old, and he was being carried in a basket by one of his disciples named Bihari Lal. He hadn't walked in many long years, and when they brought him to this very holy place and put his basket to the ground, Srila Jagannath Das Babaji Maharaj leaped in the air and started to dance. And as he was dancing, he was jumping so high that people were looking up to see the bottoms of his feet. As he was chanting with tears, filling his eyes, the holy names, Jai Sachinandana, Jai Sachinandana, Jai Gaura Hari, Jai Gaura Hari. Jai Gaura Hari, Jai Gaura Hari. Jai Gaura Hari, Jai Gaura Hari. Jai Gaura Hari, Jai Sachinandana Gaura Hari.
Jai Sachinandana Gaura Hari.
Today, this is considered to be one of the holiest of all holy places, which was revealed to us by the grace of Sri Jagannath Das Babaji Maharaj. Such great devotees, by their words, by their actions, they teach us the way by which we could all approach the true perfection of life. It is said that there are two types of Bhagavats. There is the book Bhagavatam, which is Srimad Bhagavatam, and there is the person Bhagavatam, which is the devotee of the Lord, who is humbly and truly following the principles of Srimad Bhagavatam. And it is through their words and through their humble service that we can understand what is Srimad Bhagavatam. Nasta praesya bhadresu nityam bhagavati sevaya bhagavati uttama shloke bhaktir bhavati naishtake. By regularly hearing Srimad Bhagavatam and serving those devotees who are aspiring to live by the teachings of Srimad Bhagavatam, then we please Krishna. And Krishna within the heart cleanses all anartas, all misgivings, and reveals the highest truths. In the Srimad Bhagavatam, Srila Shukadeva Goswami, he's constantly chanting the glories of the Lord and the devotees of the Lord. We find within Srimad Bhagavat, 10th canto is the beautiful pastimes of Lord Krishna. In the preliminary 9 cantos, we find the stories of various wonderful incarnations of Lord Krishna. But the prominence of Srimad Bhagavatam, first 9 cantos, is the activities of the devotees of Krishna and how they achieve the mercy of Krishna through their pure, unalloyed devotion. So we must approach the Bhagavatam through the person Bhagavatams. And Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he has personally taught in this way. Krishna's holy name contains all knowledge, contains all ras, contains absolutely everything that is required in our to perfect our spiritual lives. But how to chant the names in such a way that the name of Krishna will want to reveal these inner secrets to us in our life? This is the science of bhakti. To follow these principles as ordained by great acharyas like Jagannath Das Babaji, Srila Bhakti Vinod, Bhakti Siddhanta, Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada, by honestly and sincerely following their principles, we learn to chant the holy names in such a way that Krishna will want to reveal everything to us. The Sankirtan of the holy name was especially prescribed by Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. In fact, Jagannath Das Babaji is the person who specifically composed the Panchatattva Mantra. From the time of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, the associates and followers have been chanting the names of Lord Chaitanya, Lord Nityananda, Advaita, Gadadhara, and Srivas. So Jagannath Das Babaji composed this particular mantra with the 5 names of the 5 forms of Lord Chaitanya as he appeared. Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhara Srivasadi Gaura Bhaktivin. It is not that he invented something. Acharyas never invent anything. He just took what everyone had always been chanting and he put it in a beautiful form. And all the Vaishnavas accepted that form. And to this very day, we have been taught that we should not even approach the Hare Krishna Mahamantra without first invoking the blessings of Lord Chaitanya by chanting Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhara Sri Vasudhi Gaura. Why? Because Radhan Krishna, their leela is on a very elevated. And without the mercy of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Lord Nityananda Prabhu and their followers, to remove our offensive mentality. You cannot approach the Hare Krishna mantra with an offensive mentality. But by invoking the Panchatattva mantra, by chanting their holy names, they remove our offenses. Just their very names, like the sun, remove the offenses from our mind. And then we are in a proper consciousness to approach the Maha Mantra.
Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare.
So today on Srila Jagannath Das Babaji Maharaj's disappearance, we will celebrate by following in his footsteps, by following his exalted teachings, and coming down through parampara, by chanting
congregation.
Thank you very much.